Broadcasting in English.
Hi there, and welcome to this weekend edition of Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name's Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Starting off a very excellent program for today, we talk with you, our listeners, in this week's mailbox. After that, in Science Journal, we'll meet Ivan Havel, editor-in-chief of the popular science magazine Vesmír, which is celebrating its 140th year in publication. And later on in our program, another trip through the Czech radio archives. All that ahead, so please stay tuned. First, here's Pavla Horáková with Mailbox.
Hello and welcome to Mailbox. Thank you very much for all the birthday wishes that still keep coming our way. Our long-time listener Nick Sharp from Great Britain sent us this message.
Many congratulations on reaching your 75th anniversary today. I'm really delighted that you were able to reach this milestone of 75 years of broadcasting. I have been a Radio Prague listener since 1973, when you were broadcast very loudly on the 49-meter band, as I recall as a schoolboy in those days.
Thank you, Nick, and many thanks also to Noble Stanton West, Julie Brown, Maggie Maxwell, Stephen Bell, Mike Terry, Rick Markley, Al Vibural, Alan Rowe, Richard Cook and Colleen Law, among others, who left us their birthday greetings on our Facebook page. By the way, a special note to our listener Prithviraj Prukayastha. We regret that your interview didn't make it onto the air for technical reasons. We appreciate your taking the time to talk to us. Siegfried Rambaum included a question in his comment on Facebook.
By the way, I still remember the fanfare station ID jingle of the olden days. What piece of music was that from?
That fanfare you have in mind is the horn solo from Antonín Dvořák's famous New World Symphony. Let's hear a taste. Inspired by the recent earthquake in West Bohemia, Bob Boundy from New Zealand wrote,
"First of all, congratulations on Radio Prague's 75th anniversary. I listened to the special program via the internet. I was very surprised to hear about the earthquakes in Nový Kostel. We are still having aftershocks down here in Christchurch since 1 year ago when our first big one of 7.1 hit on the 4th of September 2010. So far, we have had over 8,000 aftershocks since September last year. I still enjoy listening via the internet and also Radio Prague's news that comes by email. I still like hearing about what is going on in the Czech Republic."
Our listener Caitlin Brown was among those who inquired about our archive Czech language program Soundcheck.
"I have been a fan of Radio Prague for a little over a year now. I don't know why it took me so long to catch on, but I'm glad that I did. I'm emailing you rather late regarding your discontinued program, Soundcheck, but I have missed it quite a bit and finally needed to send an email. I am a librarian that has been studying Czech over the last year for my profession. While Soundcheck in no way replaces a class, I found that program, and I still listen to it and recommend it to my fellow students, to be a fun and informative addition to my study. While budget cuts and funding issues are things I am not unfamiliar with, I would urge you, if possible, to bring Soundcheck back, if that is a possibility. There is nothing else like it and nothing to replace it. Děkuji a nashledanou."
I'm afraid there's nothing we can do about Soundcheck. The program was discontinued due to copyright restrictions and we miss it as much as you do. But if you go to Radio Prague's archive, you'll find 9 years' worth of Czech language programs. We hope that you'll find those helpful too. Our faithful listener from England, David Eldridge, commented on the latest tax reforms in the Czech Republic.
"I'm surprised no mention is made in your reports on the current tax reforms approved by the Czech Parliament on the effect of moving taxation away from direct taxation to indirect taxation. Such a move always has the same effect. The rich get richer, and people who have to work for a living get progressively left behind. The reform is designed to satisfy the demands of the rich and super-rich, and there's not a jot of concern for the fate of the ordinary person. What do the Czech trade unions and Czech people say about this? Clearly, the Economist Radio Prague spoke to on the 25th of August, 2011, David Marek, knew about this effect and was trying to pull the wool over our eyes about realities. He is clearly an economist who argues the case for the rich and super-rich only.
Frank Miata from New York City, who spent some time in Prague, writes,
"It's adorable to read that President Klaus has a sensitive side. I am sure that the foreign minister wasn't saying that the president could be seen as a clown on the world stage. The minister just implied it. We should all wait for WikiLeaks to release some more cables and see what the US State Department has to say about it. After all, why would the foreign minister care that his subordinates were being lectured by someone who they could not be openly disagreed with? Not polite, not diplomatic. President Klaus looks like a bully who doesn't like it when someone of equal stature calls him to task for an obvious breach of bureaucratic protocol. Still, it's nice to see that President Klaus has a sensitive side."
Thank you very much for staying in touch with Radio Prague via email and Facebook, and please keep your comments coming. All that remains to be done now is repeat our monthly quiz question. Our September mystery man is an award-winning Czech photographer. Born in 1938, he left Czechoslovakia in the aftermath of the Soviet occupation and in 1971 joined the Magnum Photos Cooperative of Photographers and Photojournalists. Please send us his name to english@radio.cz by the end of September. Mailbox will be back again on the 1st of October. Until then, I'll be looking forward to your emails and reception reports.
Many thanks to Pavla Horáková and to all of you who took the time to write us. This is Radio Prague. It has been a constant companion for generation after generation of Czech science lovers, the popular science magazine Vesmír, and it's marking its 140th year in publication. In today's Science Journal, we talk about the magazine's course through the decades with none other than its editor-in-chief, Dr. Ivan Havel, the distinguished former head of the Center for Theoretical Studies and brother of ex-president Václav Havel, who took up work at the magazine just after the Velvet Revolution.
I was originally involved in Civic Forum, but I didn't want to become a politician like other people. And I was always inclined to scientific activity. And that time, the people from Vesmír came that they would like to make a new flavor of Vesmír, more open and more new and so. And it looked attractively, so I agreed. But it's not my main job. I was director of Center for Theoretical Study, and this was something like to have a secondary interest or so.
So it began as a hobby, kind of, like a secondary?
As a hobby, actually, because I'm not paid from Vesmír. I'm just helping them with something. And for 20 years, almost 20 years, I wrote editorials, which I meant more as essays with certain ideas or something, not just a regular editorial as in journals is. And so this was my only contribution to Vesmír, because otherwise the office of the editorial office is very effective. They do a lot of work which I am not able to follow and the less to influence.
So this year marks 140 years of Vesmír as a magazine or as a publication. What were those early years like? What were those early issues?
Actually, it's an interesting story because Westmere started in 1871, and it was the first person who was actually doing everything for Westmere was Mr. Campos, 25 years old student of medicine. And he did everything, publishing, collecting articles, writing articles, everything. Unfortunately, he passed away after 4 years or so, and then Westmere was in hands of a very well-known Czech scientist, Antonín Fritsch, and he did a lot of work until the beginning of 20th century. What is more interesting is the style of the Westmere. The first orientation was for general public, even for students, even for high school students. The language of the articles in Westmere was very nice. Nice Czech language with a lot of metaphors and poetic way of expressing things. And so this was the first period.
And what was the focus? Was it all science?
I think the emphasis for on natural sciences and among natural sciences to biology and all the living environment.
Which was probably the most popular of popular sciences at that time in the 1870s.
Yeah, yeah, it was the popular way. And the problem is that, you see, the term natural sciences sometimes includes mathematics and physics, sometimes not. And it usually doesn't include humanities. Now we have a lot of problems with that. Anyway, in this late 19th century, the real exact sciences, like mathematics and physics, were considered something which is not attractive to people. It's difficult to understand and difficult to explain things. But to talk about animals and life in the nature and trees and flowers and mushrooms was very much easy to write and easy to read. So usually that period of Westmere was oriented towards that. Then I do not know too much about the period in the early 20th century, but I was a subscriber and devoted reader of Westmere after the Second World War, when it was still relatively open to, let's say, students and not quite scientifically educated people. During the communist regime, it was a strange period when Westmere was very much dependent on the official doctrine. But at the same time, it was one of the few places when Westmere could somewhat put forth ideas which were not quite accepted by the communist regime.
Can you give me an example?
Example is some articles by Jan Patočka in early 50s about Comenius, for example, and the discussion about quantum mechanics, the dispute between determinism and non-determinism in quantum mechanics, quite philosophical ideas. You see, the issue was that Marxist-Leninist doctrine was very much in favor of determinism. And quantum mechanics is by nature something which includes non-determinism into the world. And so the dispute was sensitive. You see, for that period, what was important, not necessarily the basic ideological ideas, but already the language. That the language was not influenced by Marxist style of speech. There were not necessary so much references to Marx and Engels and Lenin and Stalin. And in certain sense, for us young readers, it was a very nice side track do what was obligatory to teach in schools and in universities.
A kind of escape, I guess.
So, and now the last period was actually after the Velvet Revolution, when everything was open, there was freedom of speech, freedom of travel, and freedom of everything. So we decided to open Westmere to wider scope of ideas, not to be very strictly oriented to certain scientific, not scientific, but scientistic attitude, and give word to alternative thoughts. And also, we decided slightly to open to humanities, not only to restrict ourselves to natural sciences, but also to include articles and essays or studies from sociology, philosophy, other humanities, which might be interested, well, which should be interesting even for art scientists.
In the late 19th century, the word Westmere didn't exactly have the same meaning as it does today. Today, the word Westmere means space, as in outer space. What connotation did it actually have at the time when the magazine first came out?
The term Westmere is very interesting. In Slavic languages, it actually means universe. Everything, just everything. Westmere in Russian means all world. And the term space, as it is used in English now, this means cosmic space, I think in Czech was never too much emphasized. We say immediately cosmic space. We do not say space. But it's not Westmere. Westmere is universe. You see, if it is a title of a journal, it becomes just a title of journal. It doesn't have its semantic or etymologic importance. So Westmere is not really restricted to astronomy. As some people think still, when it is called Westmere, it should be concerned with astronomy.
So it's kind of like more like the word cosmos, the way it was originally meant in Greek. Like.
Maybe, yeah. This would be just to act, to look on the world in which we all live and which transcends our daily life and goes everywhere. And various sciences took usually a certain fragment of that world and studied that fragment.
What lies ahead for the magazine, would you say? Do you think it will go on in the same format, in the same way, for many more decades to come? Or do you foresee some kind of greater transformation?
Probably we do not expect some radical transformation. We would prefer to fill our intentions, which is not always easy. Because, you see, to ask hard-working scientists to write an article for Westmere is very difficult. You see, the idea which we were trying to put forth after the revolution was relatively high-level topics which are readable to scientists from other disciplines. So to write about, let's say, genetics in a way which would be readable for somebody from mathematics or physics. And that means that it would be readable also to young people, to high school students, which also are not narrow-minded to certain concrete field and may be interested in wider topics. These things would be important in the future as well as now. The question is whether it will work well to realize that idea.
Dr. Ivan Havel there of the Center for Theoretical Studies, editor-in-chief of the popular science magazine Westmere, which marks its 140th birthday this year. If you're just tuning in, then thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Now, as always of a Saturday, it's time for a trip down memory lane and around the halls of the Czech radio archives. Here's David Vaughan.
Because August the 21st is the 40th anniversary of the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia in 1968, and the radio played such a central role in the events of those dramatic days, I'm going to look in this edition of From the Archives at the memories of one of the key journalists involved in those extraordinary events. Jerzy Dienstbier was one of Czechoslovak radio's star reporters at the time. Later, he was to become one of the best-known dissidents of the 70s and 80s, and after the Velvet Revolution, he was the country's first post-communist foreign minister. On the morning of August the 21st, 1968, he was one of several radio journalists playing a cat-and-mouse game with the Soviet occupiers as the Soviets tried to silence the radio station. Here is the voice of Jerzy Dienstbier, broadcasting from a secret studio in the building on that dramatic morning. He is appealing to people to stay calm and warning that at any minute the Soviets are going to find the studio and force them off the air. A few days ago, Jerzy Dienstbier came back to the radio and recalled his experiences on that day exactly 40 years ago.
I went to bed about midnight. But in 5 minutes I was awakened by the radio that we are occupied by the Russians. I said, no, don't joke. Did I listen? So I listened to, and there was a noise of airplanes flying over Prague. So I dressed myself and I ran to the radio. And in half an hour there were about 200 people there. So when the group of about 10 people with state security people came to take over the radio, so we closed them in one room. We just tried to work as quickly as possible to get the declaration of the Politburo against the Soviet invasion. And finally, about 1:30, Zdeněk Mlynář was able to phone us and dictate the declaration, the text condemning the invasion. And that was the beginning.
Zdeněk Mlynář, whom Jerzy Dienstbier mentions there, was one of the key figures in the reforms of the Prague Spring, one of the people closest to Alexander Dubček. The broadcast of the Politburo's declaration condemning the invasion was a crucial moment. It informed the people of Czechoslovakia and the world beyond that the country's leadership was as shocked and angry about events as the rest of the nation.
That was David Vaughan with From the Archives, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. If you'd like to listen again or recommend the program to others, we are always on the internet for you. Simply turn to our website at radio.cz. We are always happy to discuss your questions and comments. You can write to us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook or Twitter under Radio Prague, or of course with a good old-fashioned letter to Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening and nashledanou.
vous écoutez Radio Prague.